Okay, thank you very much. It is my pleasure to be here today. We kind of shortened the title, but it's still on the same idea. Bardi and Triticale for annual forage production. This is work that I have been doing with Raquel Dolce and Vern Barron, who are at Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada Lacombe Research Station. I'm centered at the Field Crop Development Centre, which is an Alberta Agriculture and Forestry research station. I will find the page down. So, besides, for those of you who don't know where Lacombe, Alberta is, I'll find the pointer here somehow. This is where we are down here, and this is where Lacombe, Alberta is, right in that area right there. Alberta is similar to Texas in that the main thing that we do in Alberta is we produce oil and gas. And the second thing we do is we produce beef. So, but we have very different growing conditions and how we support that production. Alberta's beef industry is huge. We have a head of beef cows of 1.8 million head, and annually 850,000 animals are backgrounded. Now, these include non-slaughter heifers and steers transitioning from pasture to feedlot. So these are the two grades of animals that this project was would be for, in swath grazing for those beef cows and silage production for those backgrounding animals. The study was conducted with barley, Hordeum vulgare, which is a small grain cereal for cool climates. The thing about barley is it's an ancient crop. It's one of the first crops that was cultivated over 9,000 years ago. There's lots of different types of barley. There's two-row, there's six-row, there's hulled, hullless, semi-dwarf, tall, and everything in between. There's black, there's white, there's malting, there's feed. We can sing a song. Triticale, on the other hand, is a man-made crop. That's why it starts with X, X, Triticale. And it was created by the crossing rye with wheat. Now, the type of triticale that's grown in Alberta is hexaploid, which means that it's derived from durum wheat with crossed with rye. Now, the objective of this study was to stagger planting and harvest dates to determine management effects on yield and quality for swath grazing and forage production, to express and the quality thereof, and to express this on an economic basis for farm gate decision making. The field trials were conducted in 2012 and 13. Their four entries were two triticales, Taza and this advanced line from our breeding program, and the barley cultivars Gadsby and Falcon. Gadsby is a tall two-row variety and Falcon is a semi-dwarf six-row hullus. That's about as far apart in genetics as you can get. The three seeding dates were mid-May, early June, and mid-June. These are all within the recommended range for seeding for swath grazing or silage in our area. The two locations were actually at Lacombe, but the fed site was considered a low fertility site with approximately 100 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. And our site, which is a pulse plow down, considered a high fertility site with approximately 200 kilograms of nitrogen. The five harvest times were boot and thesis plus 1 week, soft dough and hard dough. In barley, these are, in our environment, are approximately at 1 week intervals, and for triticale, these are at approximately 10 day intervals. But I'm going to present the data as these five harvest times. The data collected is forage yield. Here's our forage harvester. We have a nice winter stagger forage harvester. Using NIRS, we determine crude protein, neutral detergent fiber, acid detergent fiber, starch, and in vitro true digestibility based on a 30-hour calculation. And these were all previously determined calibrations, although where there were outliers, wet chemistry was done to confirm. The calculated values were done by putting this through a spreadsheet that was developed by Barron et al., and carrying capacity and feed costs were determined for cows on swath grazing, and average daily gain and cost of gain were determined for backgrounding calves. So what I would like to show you is our data. And as you can see, dry matter yield increases from boot to the hard dough stage. Now, the thing about dry matter yield increase, and you can see that the triticale had much more than the barley. I'm consolidating this. I want you to know that harvest stage had a significant effect on biomass and in vitro true digestibility, but the stage of planting did not. So these values are actually averaged over all those three stages of all those three times of planting and over the two cultivars within the two species. So what we just wanted to show you was, yes, dry matter increases, but you have to balance that out with in vitro true digestibility, which declines over the period. And so for barley, this is sort of a linear decline in quality. So you have to offset that. That means you're getting less digestion of that biomass. But you've got to balance that decline with the increase in biomass. And for triticale, this is an interesting phenomena, is that yes, triticale declines, but then it levels off as grain filling begins. So there is a compensation there, probably due to the starch accumulation by the grain. Within the species, this was an important thing for me because I'm a plant breeder and I wanted to know if we did have genetic differences within our species. So you can see that Gadsby was much higher yielding than Falcon barley. But when we looked at quality, Gadsby actually had lower crude protein than the Falcon, which is important for background. Protein becomes important for backgrounding animals, and you'll see this a little later when we roll that up. And starch is important also, but there were, although that this difference was significant, over most of the growth stages, Falcon had a higher starch there shortly after anthesis, but later on it wasn't different. So these are just the significant differences that we found. When we looked at biomass and quality of the two triticale varieties, you can see that the line had was a little bit higher yielding than Taza, but when we looked at the quality, the Taza had a higher protein content. And when we looked at starch, that line, 94L043057, had higher starch content. So that was a varietal difference. And so when we looked then at our economic predictors, here we have carrying capacity. Now this is a swath grazing for a pregnant cow, determined for maintenance of that cow at about minus 10 degrees Celsius, a nice winter day in Alberta. And Gadsby, because of its higher yields, tends to have almost the same carrying capacity as those two triticale varieties, whereas Falcon, because of its lower yields, this is the carrying capacity over here, has a lower carrying capacity. And when we determine that on feed costs, Gadsby ended up having the lowest feed cost, and that's because you can produce this amount of biomass in barley with less fertilizer than you would with triticale, and based on the cost of that, this would be the feed cost for the triticale. So a lot of variability in our barley, not so much in the triticales. Triticales have good carrying capacity and lower feed costs than some barleys. So when we're looking at that brown backgrounding calf that's just taken off of on into the feedlot for backgrounding on total forage feed. You can see now that quality plays a huge role, and that Falcon, because of that higher quality, actually has higher average daily gains than Gadsby, and definitely than the two treated Kayleys. And when we look at cost to gain for the barleys, again, this takes into a bit of the production. You can see that our barleys for backgrounding then are very cost effective. And for swap grazing, due to higher yields, triticale can be a competitive species with good economics returns. Variety differences within barley were identified, with Gadsby showing better economics than Falcon. But really what I wanted to see as a plant breeder was that there was a wide range there within our germplasm, and then we could breed for better returns for producers. For backgrounding, due to higher in vitro true digestibility and poorer quality than the barley, triticale was not a cost-effective species for backgrounding. So is this something that we could do within our germplasm for triticale? It's very narrow. I don't know if we can improve it for backgrounding, but it certainly, triticale has a place in swath grazing. And in conclusion, I'd just like to mention that this project was possible through the support of ALMA, our funding agency, Alberta Livestock and Meat Agency, Alberta Beef Producers, and our joint organizations, Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, and Alberta Forestry, Government of Alberta Forestry and Agriculture. Thank you.
We have time for questions.
In Alberta, do you consider a fall planting triticale? I'm not so familiar with that, but I know in our intermountain regions of the western U.S., we'll remove a crop of corn and direct seed triticale into it, utilizing a starter fertilizer, grow it during the winter, and then swath it in the spring in anthesis, and then plant directly corn back into it. Anything like that in Alberta?
We usually have like a meter of snow at this time of the year, so like no, there's not. We don't use that concept. We do some intercropping of winter cereals with spring cereals. We'll take it off for a silage, and then have that winter regrowth. But that winter regrowth will actually be in the fall, so it'll supplement pastures with a fall grazing period. So that's how we would use a winter triticale for supplemental pasture. Then you can overwinter that and grow it out for a silage crop the next year. But we don't actually highly recommend that, because we do get a lot of rust blowing northward from the Pacific Northwest, especially stripe rust, and that can become a problem in our triticale. Although triticale is more resistant than the wheats. We don't recommend it with our wheats at all, with winter wheat at all. But triticale does have some more resistances.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.